Just before I get into the message this morning, just want to bring you up briefly. Some of you are new to the church here. I'm pastoring the church plant from HBC, which is Barton Community Church. And so I just wanted to bring you up briefly some of the things that are happening there, very briefly. Just interestingly, some of you might be aware of universal credit that's being rolled out next year, and the government are really committed to it. A couple of weeks ago, the advocacy organisation in the Barton Community Centre got in touch with me. A dear gentleman, really was a dear gentleman, 10 weeks, he'd gone over to universal credit, 10 weeks without money, no food. Can you imagine, I won't say any more, can you imagine, can I put myself, what would my situation look like 10 weeks without money? What would I be having to do? What would I have to be transferring? What would I have to be borrowing? I don't know. Okay? That is definitely going to be rolled out just, you know, about half a mile down the road. And we need to think as a church here, Barton Community Church, but also in partnership with yourselves, our response to that. We're looking at things like food bank because we think it's going to be necessary and different things like that. Just pray for us in those areas as we begin to really think some of those issues through. Because, friends, when things get really tight, the people who will go and take what they need from others, they won't come necessarily up to Headington to do it. They'll do it from the poor on their own estate, the vulnerable on their own estate. That's where it'll happen. And that's where things will get worse on that estate, in certain pockets of that estate. So we need to really pray that God would undertake as we consider those things and pray about that. The other thing is, as well, as we have started on Thursday morning, we're holding it here in the back room here. On Thursday morning, 6 till 7, we are praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit upon Headington. We're praying for a pouring out of the Spirit of God upon Barton Community Church, because we might meet physical needs, and there will be needs which we will be able to express the love of Jesus. But without the move of the Spirit, without God touching people's lives. And so this is just an expression. One of the young men in the church said to me, Paul, they need to come into contact with Jesus first, and then they'll want to get to know him. And I said, well, that's the work of the Spirit. I said, when can you meet with me? He said, well, the only time I can meet with you maybe was two mornings, 6 till 7. I said, let's do it. Amen? Come on. So you're welcome. 6 till 7 on a Thursday morning. And I tell you, they gave me not a little bit of grief, but they said, but I walked out on Thursday morning after having a real hour of calling down God. I said, God, we need you. And I walked out and I thought, okay, it's tough, it's cold, it's early. I thought, but an hour for Jesus. That's why I walked away and I thought, an hour for Jesus? Is that not much? You know? And I just, you know, that's the challenge, isn't it? You know, and you might not be able to make it. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, the challenge is, if we want God to do something, we need to do something as well. And so that's the other thing. The other thing, last thing I want to share with you, but please feel free. And if you happen to wake up between 6 and 7 and you don't have to rush out to work, how about just joining in prayer in the morning and then texting me like May did. Wave, May. Come on, wave. And May said, I was praying with you. I didn't manage to come, but I was praying with you. It's fine, isn't it? God's listening to prayer. Final thing is, as well, is that we've had quite a few changes over the past year. Any of you who like being, you know, practical, maybe you can't commit to things on a regular basis. We have a rota where we give food all the time in everything we do. We need people to help us wash up sometimes, because some of our washer-ups get very tired of washing up every week. And if you can help out in some practical ways of just helping us breakdown, we meet at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Probably once a month when we do the community lunch, you could help that as well. But that's a good time for us. That's the 3 Sundays of the month where we meet at 4. We've got set up, we're making food and tidying up afterwards. If you would be willing to go on a rota to help with that, even if for a little while, even if you said, well, for 6 months I'm going to do that, and then I'll review it, whatever. Talk to me about the needs that we have there. It's exciting what God is doing, but we do need help and we do need the Holy Spirit to break through. Amen? Amen. Great. Good. So we've been really hearing about exercising regularly and all that stuff and everything. And I'm going to let you into a little thing. I used to do a lot of open-air preaching, and I used to say some things that sometimes were a little bit difficult. And I heard this thing on the radio, And I thought, that will make a good message. So I had my sketch board with my paints, and I painted on the board this. The first thing I put on the board was, eat right. And so I started saying, yeah, we need to eat right. We need to have the right foods in our body, and we need to make sure we have the right menus, and we mustn't fill our bodies with loads of sugar and do all that type of stuff. So we need to eat right. And I haven't got onto the gospel bit yet. Even though I think it maybe mentioned something about God wants us to look after our bodies too. So I didn't want to let them think that I was just giving them a talk on exercise and eating right. So, and then the next thing I put up on the board was, I said, stay fit. Yeah, you need to exercise. And exercise, the Bible says it's good to exercise, you know, look after your body, do that type of thing. So stay fit. It's really important to stay fit. But then my final one was at the bottom was, but die anyway. So, I don't, maybe it didn't make me that popular, I don't know. But it's true, you know. You know, we have a mortal life that has an end, but we have an eternal destiny. And you can look after your body, and that's all a good thing to do. I don't know how many friends that made me, but it's true, isn't it? See, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says this. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. And that's when you get into that, godly means all sorts of things about our behaviors and our character and everything else. For physical training is of some value. So you don't get a get out on the old physical training. But you certainly get no get out on the spiritual. But godliness has value for all things, holding a promise for both the present life and the life to come. Are we fit for the life to come? Amen? Are we serving God and making sure that we're doing our spiritual exercise and being fit for the life to come? Both for the present, spiritual disciplines have benefits for the present and for the life to come. And so my first point is this. Physical training has a number of purposes and benefits. You see, you can stay fit just to be healthy, to aid you in your quality of life, to help you live longer. And so you're looking after your heart, you're looking after your circulation, and it stimulates your mind. They say that it helps you in your thinking, and Ben and others have said that really stimulates spiritually and mentally their minds. Really important. And so some people, they just exercise for that. And you would have loved to seen Marion yesterday doing her Keep Fit at the Barton Bash with her aerobics teacher. I was very impressed. She's looking after her heart, she's looking after her circulation, doing that. It was really good. And they had a number of different things going like that. It was really excellent. And so I'm not thinking that Marion's thinking, I'm going to go and climb Everest. That's why I'm doing my literally thinking about it now. But, or anything like that. Or I'm not training to run the marathon. No. But you're looking after yourself. You're keeping yourself fit because you want the body that God has given you to function well and for you to live as long as you possibly can for Him, with a good quality of life. So that's good. There's also physical training to become good or the best at something, to win the prize. Paul recognizes that in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. So Tim, it was Tim, wasn't it? Tim is training to win that triathlon or decathlon or whatever. No, he's training at least to do better than he did the time before. Okay, to be the best that he can. But you know, some people are training to actually achieve something. I've got here, this is the Three Peaks. Not literally the Three Peaks, but this t-shirt represents the Three Peaks, which I have done twice in 24 hours. So that's Ben Nevis, Scarfell and Snowdon, and I've done it twice. Now the challenge is, I've got a few things to check out first, but we're looking obviously to finance some of the things that we're doing, thinking about for Barton. I'm thinking, in my 60th year, I was 60 a couple of weeks back, can I do it again? But if I'm going to do it again, I'm going to have to get into training. And maybe some people might be interested in that. We're going to try and raise some funds, but I'm going to check with the doctor first before I really get into serious training. Because I'd love to do it for the third time in my 60th year. So physical training can be because you want to achieve a particular thing. So if I go into training to do the three peaks in my 60th year, I'm doing it because I have a goal in mind and something that I want to achieve. See, and I think that's really important when we look at spiritual things. Spiritual training has a purpose. When you make that effort to get up in the morning, to have that devotional, read the word, do think, spend that time with God, walk to work instead of driving your car so you can have a prayer time, whatever it is to develop spiritual well-being. It's to develop spiritual well-being. It's a very important part of life. How many of us are enjoying spiritual well-being because we have good spiritual training in place that we do regularly? And I don't want you to be anybody who beats yourself up because you miss a morning, you know? God doesn't work like that, because it's all really about relationship with Him. So he's not worried if you miss a morning, I didn't do my, well, just fit it in during your tea break or something like that. Spend some time with God. I find so many Christians, we want to beat ourselves and we don't. We say, for the next 6 months, you know, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then we miss a couple of days or something happens and then we stop because we think we've failed. No, you haven't failed. Just pick it up again. Pick it up and run with it again. Amen? You know, that's what happens. It's people like with sort of diets. You know, they have a bad day and they've opened up the box of roses or the Cadbury's or whatever. Oh, it's all not worth it now. I may as well just go back to... No, you don't. You just say, okay, I've had a blip. Pay it up and run with it again. We want to develop spiritual well-being. We want to develop spiritual stamina. And this word keeps coming back and back and back. And particularly when I was in victim support with training people in victim support. Resilience. Are we resilient as Christians? Or when something comes along and knocks us, or it doesn't work out the way, are we suddenly all at sea and we don't know what's going on? God, where are you? It's so important in spiritual training that we build resilience. You know, after the financial crash, you know that the banks went through a terrible sort of time, didn't they? And this word came out about resilience in the banks as well. That, you know, if there was another difficult global turndown or an unforeseen negative circumstances, would the banks be resilient enough? Would they have enough in reserves to be able to cope with another situation? Friends, it's just the same with us. You know, are we in that situation for an unforeseen circumstance or a negative thing to happen? Are we resilient as Christians that we would stand? Sometimes God says, that's all, stand. But rather than going back, you're able, through the armor of God that we sang about, you're able to stand and stand your ground and say, devil, this is negative, this is difficult, but, you know, I've got this relationship with God. I know where I stand with God. I know He loves me. His word is in my heart, and I can stand, even though this is a negative circumstance. Tell you what, friends, you will not do it unless you actually spiritually train yourself to do that. We're talking about the grace. It's all grace of God. But there is a God actually empowers us by His Spirit to be able to do this. It's so important. Spiritual stamina and resilience. Able to deal with unforeseen negative circumstances. Basically, do you have enough reserves in the bank? It's important. Now, God's gracious. The times that I haven't had enough in the bank, God's been good. But I tell you what, God doesn't want me to be picking me up all the time. God wants me to learn to stand in Him. In Jeremiah, there's a couple of chapter 2 and chapter 14, talks about God's people. And they actually dug these cisterns to gather water for difficult times. But they were cracked. They were the wrong thing. They weren't really looking to God. And of course, the Bible talks about they go to the cisterns and there's no water there. We've got to make sure that we're not putting our trust in the wrong things. It's very difficult to do that in this world. There's so many things that we take for granted. And particularly in the West. Friends, we need to sometimes look outside of this sort of like bubble of the West and look what's going on in our world. And look what's going on with Christians around the world and the resilience that some of them have to have in different parts. We'll get this back on again. Resilience in parts of the world that they have to have to stand against the persecution, against the daily poverty and everything else. We have so much. We need to get before God and say, God, even though things may be really good for me, Lord, I want a deep, strong, spiritual life. Spiritual training also has eternal rewards. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? That's in a natural race, by the way. Aren't you glad about that? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Friends, if you run, you will win. Even if you, I hope you don't have to crawl over the finish line. But God wants you to cross the finish line. That's winning the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run. This is Paul talking now, the Apostle Paul. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. I think there's a point at which that sounds like, ooh, beat the body, you know, down the gym. But there must be times, Tim, that you've actually had to push through. And it's got easier, hasn't it? It gets easier. There are times when you have to discipline. The beginning is not the easy time. And can I say, when you start, using Tim as an example, you couldn't just suddenly jump it into his training regime. But I know people who do that. They go absolutely berserk. And then they wonder why they fail. But they've never got up in the morning at 5 o'clock to pray, ever in their life. They very rarely open their Bible. They suddenly come to a meeting like this where they get challenged about their personal walk with Jesus, and then they go away and think, I'm going to do something about it. And the next minute they're planning out this whole regime, this spiritual training regime, that they'll never keep up. What you've got to do is you've got to go away, look at your spiritual training regime, what you're doing in your personal devotions, and you need to think about it and say, how can I increase that? Maybe you need a bit of coaching. Maybe you need to speak to one of your leaders, to pastor, and say, look, I want to develop my spiritual life. I want to have those reserves. When negative circumstances come, I want to be able to stand. What do you suggest, Pastor James? What do you suggest, Pastor Chris? Anybody, any of the other leaders that are in here as well? And they'll gladly help you because, friends, we've all been through it. And we all actually have times when the spiritual walk, if you like, or the spiritual training is difficult. We all have to confess that. So, what's good about a spiritual workout? Well, let's just, for a bit of fun, let's just have a look at a natural workout. Yuri, come here. Come on, Yuri. He was just showing me his strength earlier on. So we're going to have Yuri and we're going to have Pastor Chris. Come, okay? Now, we don't want to injure them, and they haven't signed any waivers, so I have to be very careful, okay? Now, Yuri says he's done it for over, let me try, I'll probably do myself a mischief. I can't even do that. I've got not very strong shoulders. But Yuri can hold them right out straight for a minute, okay? I wonder how many of those you can do for a minute. I'll switch that on, we'll see. I don't want you to overdo it, brother, because you're not warmed up. You know, you have to do a warm-up before you do exercise, don't you? All right? But you're ready for this. He's going to hold these here for a minute, and Chris is going to do a minute on the thing. 10 minutes on this, and you're at the top of the Eiffel Tower, by the way. Not literally, but let me just hold this. See if I can get it. See if I can get it to stop. Oh, yes. There we are. We're on zero. Okay, now we can and the other one there. Well, he did have a little go earlier on, and he did very well.
I did two steps.
I was just the evangelist speaking. Okay, all right.
You're very short, by the way.
Yeah, I am very short, by the way. So we're going to give them a minute, but you can count how many he does. But I've got a counter on as well, and then we've got Yuri in the background. Doing his, well, you can move over a bit, you, so they can see. That's lovely. And he's going to do his strong man bit for a minute. Okay, away we go. Well, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh! cat in a minute. Oh, no. Okay. Hey, be careful. If he passes out in a minute, don't worry. All right, we'll give it another 15 seconds, will we? 50 seconds. Cat down. Oh. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
That's slippy shoes.
You did really well. 88! And well done, Guru.
By the way, that's 2 buckets of water.
That's 2 buckets of water he was holding there. Just looking at that, what were the 2 different types of exercise going on there, those of you who know these things? Aerobic.
Anaerobic.
Okay, well, that was a technical term, but endurance, isn't it? The other one's like aerobic, yeah. Sort of strength, you know. So, really good, well done. Now, I'm not expecting you to, obviously, that's the natural side of things. But, thank you very much, guys. A good spiritual workout. They were doing it together. I know they weren't chatting. But the first thing I want to say, exercising with others. Teamwork. It's the first thing I want to share with you. Encouragement. Now, I know some exercising in the natural is very singular and everything, but there's usually people involved at levels and there's coaching and everything else goes on. Exercising with others. Teamwork. Learning to pray together. Learning to the Word of God together, fellowshipping together. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. It hasn't changed. I don't care whether we're in over 2018, it has not changed. The principle is the same for spiritual health and exercise. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Important. You do not do that, you will not be spiritually fit. You will be vulnerable. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Who needs encouragement? Hey man, we all need encouragement. I'll put 2 hands up. We all need encouragement. All the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, we need personal devotional times. And that's the other thing. There's some training that's like running mile after mile by yourself. Personal devotional times of study, prayer, reflection, and meditation. Actually, a lot of people who do running like Tim and stuff like that, they're often praying. Because you just get into that rhythm and you can just pray to God. But even in the quietness of your own home, that stamina of being able just to focus your eyes on Jesus. Talked about this before, that ability just to meditate on him, to take a passage of scripture and meditate on that passage of scripture. Maybe if you've got some study books that you go and look up the words in that passage to see if there's any richer meaning that you're picking up, that you've not just picked up just with just reading over it and enriching your spiritual life, bringing your mind, transforming your mind by the renewing of the word. So those are important. Reflection as well. How much time do you spend in reflection? Meditation and reflection. Maybe you might, hopefully, today, you might find some time just to reflect on what's happened in church today. Taking some time for reflection. What's happening in your workplace, in your family? What's the spiritual temperature of your family? What's your spiritual temperature? Reflecting on those things and thinking about maybe ways in which you can develop those things. Then I mentioned earlier on coaching. We need coaching. We need people who know how to coach us and to encourage us in our faith. This is what we're here for partly this morning. This is why you have leaders in the church. And in fact, and again, we can all do a bit of coaching. If we are godly and we're seeking God and God is speaking to us, we pass that on to others and we encourage others. And we can be coaching one another. And it's really important, as long as you're humble. It's, you know, when somebody thinks that they know it all, and you know, I'm the coach around here, you know. But no, we can actually encourage one another. So important. What about exercising your faith? Exercising your faith through circumstances. You know, the circumstances that come and they challenge our faith. And we've got no control over them. It's only God that knows, really, the reason for them. But there are times, as Christians, we put ourselves into circumstances. There are times when we actually say, I am going to get involved with this. I am going to move myself into this circumstance, and it's going to challenge my faith. I'm going to have to exercise my faith in this area. If you get involved in the children's work, if you get involved in outreach, if you get involved in just helps or the local food bank or anything that you do, it might not be the natural place for you, and you're going in there as a Christian. It will be you putting yourself into a circumstance where you have to exercise your faith, and you're saying to God, use me in this situation. Use me. Circumstances and challenges that increase our faith. Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. We could preach all day on that, because we know that the word love, you know, in the West means one thing, but the word love here is an act of your will as much as it is a feeling and an experience. If you do anything, let's say, just for argument's sake, you got involved with us a bit at BCC, and you decided to do the washing up, but you might be a scientist, you might be an accountant, you might be anything in here, but actually, you put yourself in a circumstance that's not your normal situation. And you exercise love towards the people of the barn. You're showing love. Now, you might not feel all gooey about them. And when they're making loads of noise and everything else like that, and all the things that go on in our services. But you will be expressing the love of Christ. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And that very often is an act of your will. Friends, we've just got one or two more points. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, we constantly pray for you, this is Paul saying, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours, every act prompted by your faith. You see, if you're going to get involved in anything, unless you're just somebody who doesn't think about things, just jumps into things without thinking, the things that you get involved in will be prompted by your faith. God, you're with me in this. If I do this, I know you're going with me. Lord, I need you in this. Be prompted by your faith. James 1:3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, resilience, strength. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Lord, I want to be mature. I want to be complete. Lord God, test my faith. What a thing to say, but Lord, I need that. The other thing is good spiritual workout is ministry and service. I think I've already covered that. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect your gift, Paul says to Timothy, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Now, you might say, well, the elders have never laid their hands on me. I want to tell you, every Christian has a gift. It's amazing. Every Christian has a gift. Even just themselves. You know, I've met Christians who, for whatever reason, have had maybe serious learning disability and stuff like that. But this, you know, as Christians, there's been something beautiful about them. They've had a gift. We've all got a gift. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life, how you're living. Watch your doctrine, your teaching closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, do you think, Paul, that just is just for Timothy? Or do you think that might be for me? Or that might be for you too? See, it's dead easy for us just to brush it. Well, that's Paul speaking to Timothy. No, it's God speaking to you. It's God speaking to me. Again, 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. We are living in a very difficult time for faith and for walking with Jesus Christ. There's so much going on that is people saying that with the atheism and that's not, God's not real and all the stuff that's going on and the pressure there. We need God's strength. We don't want to be timid. We want to be standing in God and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he changes people's lives. We need to be not timid in our prayers and saying, God, we need the moving of your Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything to save anybody. We cannot change their lives. We need you to break in. We, by your grace, will share your word. We, by your grace, will do acts of love. But Lord, we need you to break in. That's what matters. Finally, be encouraged. Amen. Are you feeling encouraged this morning? Come on. Yes. We can do it. We'll have our failures. We'll have our ups and downs. We'll have those times when we've actually broken the diet, if you like. You know, and gorged on the sweet. But don't give up. Pick it up. It's the only way I've managed to get as far as I've got. Seriously. I am no spiritual giant. I have only got this far by I have failed so many times, but I thought, I've got nowhere else to go, God. You know, I've got nowhere else to go. I'm like Peter. Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. Yeah, I've blown it so often, but there's nowhere else to go. I want to serve you. I want to be a better, best Paul I can be. Be encouraged, be passionate, be determined. Our final scripture is Hebrews 12, 1. This is a brilliant scripture that somebody was preaching on this week that I went to hear. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Tim, I'm overworking you today, mate. But you don't run with 45-pound pack on your back and all your biscuits and everything with you, and you know, you've got your TV around your neck when you're trying to run. You don't do that, do you? You don't have the radio, big radio, no, nothing. Just trim down, going for it, aren't you? Friends, we need to trim down. Amen? We need to think about the things that are holding us back, the things that we're chained to. Whatever those things might be, they're holding us back. And some of us, we've got a fair bit of sand, but we're carrying them, and we're trying to run with them. But we got them. And how about you're going to run better if you just drop them? Come on. They're not doing you any good. This is where I'm at with God. God's saying it to me. He said, Paul, that's, you know, nothing particularly massively wrong with that. But it ain't doing you any good. And you ain't running as fast as you could if you just drop it. It takes time. It takes prayer to break those things and break those things so you can run even better. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, it always gets easier. It always does get easier when you have a fresh vision of Jesus. When you think of his suffering, you think of all that he went through, what he endured, spiritual discipline that he had, how he got through. We fix our eyes on him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are all at different parts of our journey and we're all facing different challenges. And Lord, I certainly don't want to be anybody here this morning beating anybody over the head about their spiritual exercise or even their physical exercise, Father. Lord, I've had so many false starts and difficulties in my life. But Lord, I thank you for the grace that has always enabled me to pick up the baton. I pray there'll be those who will pick up the runner's baton again this morning. And that we will be those that will run our part of the race. And at the end of our race, that we will pass on some good things in that baton that we pass on to others. So Father, wherever we are, Lord, none of us are failures if we're in you. There is no failure. We are victorious in you. But we want to express that victory in our lives, Father. So I pray wherever we are, if we're feeling low, I pray that you'll encourage us. I pray if we're feeling low, we'll get other people to come around us and coach us and encourage us and pray for us that we might move forward in you. I want to thank you, Father God, for the truth of your word. I want to thank you, Lord, for the power of your spirit. I want to thank you for this wonderful congregation, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that this gathering of your people, this people, Father God, Headington Baptist Church, will do exploits for their God. That, Father God, they'll encourage one another and will do great things for you as, Father, they develop themselves in your spirit. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Bless you guys. Thank you.